making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we thank you for joining us here again today at Abounding Grace. We're continuing with our study of Christian joy, what it means to joy and rejoice in the Lord, as Paul commands in Philippians chapter 3. And if you remember this past week, what we've been looking at is that typically people will posit a false dichotomy, a false separation between joy and sorrow. So typically, joy is understood as happiness. If we can get people into a happy state, then the sorrows tend to, you sort of drown out the sorrows of this life. And I said yesterday that people are always seeking to do this. So you look at the culture, people are seeking happiness, and they look for happiness through things like drugs, alcohol. I even said there's even a dishonest approach to certain forms of Christian music that tends to say we have to work people into a happy state to get them to feel good about their Christianity. And actually, what the Bible often presents to us, especially in the Psalms, is that many people can worship the Lord with deep, longing hearts that are facing sorrow and that are facing pain because we live in a sin-cursed world. Because our hearts are full of sin, and because death and all sorts of sadnesses are all around us, oftentimes the reality in this life is that sorrow really does penetrate to us. Sorrow does affect us. But what I said yesterday, if the joy of the Lord is our strength, well, then the trials and the sufferings of this life and the painful things, as much as they can bring pain, the inward joy of the gospel becomes the safeguard to despair and to mercy. And so when joy is seen not as a feeling, but as an understanding of who you are and what your position is in Jesus Christ, it then becomes compatible with sorrow. In fact, I just stumbled on this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul gives a bunch of different contrasts here about what the Christian life is. And in the midst of 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 10, he says, being as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And so these things are compatible in the Christian life because we have been called to model the very life of Jesus Christ. What was that life? Well, we are going to be partakers of his sufferings. We are going to be in conformity and live in conformity to his death. Does that remove all forms of sorrow? No. All forms of joy, excuse me? No. Joy is the reality for the Christian because through all of the sorrows, we have the underlining understanding that in Christ we are rich, we have all things, our home is not of this world, we have his very righteousness imputed to our account so that we cannot even move nor be moved without his will. It's just a wonderful perspective about life as a Christian. But let me say, if you're not a Christian, surely you don't have this perspective. I have a friend who recently lost a child, and he's an unbeliever, and that child died in his arms the day it was born. Something went wrong, and months later, they're still not able to get up. They have no perspective on the whole thing. They have no hope. They can't understand. It's just a freak coincidence that this happened, and so they look at odds and look at everything that way. My heart longs for them. Because I want them to have the joy, even in those sorrowful situations, that can be theirs in Christ. Because there was also another man in the Bible who lost a son, didn't he? King David. And remember, at birth, he lost this son. And remember what happened. He wept, he mourned, he prayed hours on end before the child's death. And once the child died, what shocked his servants was 2 Samuel, listen to 2 Samuel 13, verse 2. They said, he's dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went in to the house of the Lord and worshiped. And he explains this by saying, look, when the child was alive, I wept, for then the Lord may be merciful and right, he may spare the child. But now he is dead, but I shall go to him. And so David says, look, when he was alive, the Lord might have spared him, but now that he took him, I know I'm going to go to him. What a perspective of life, isn't it? Of joy. The joy of the Lord was his strength. And so the joy that Paul here describes is a joy that guards your hearts and your minds to shield you in life and in death from whatever comes down your path. Thus our joy, my friends, cannot be in anything else. I have bad news for those who are looking for other joys and other happinesses in that sense. Those who are looking for the pleasures of this life to fill them, and they cover it up with all the things that this world has to offer. I have very bad news for you. You've built your house upon the sand. You are heading down the wide path that leads to destruction. You are no better than the chaff that the wind drives away. You are searching for the wind. You are a tree bearing absolutely no fruit. This is all the language the Bible uses. Joy is directly connected, my friends, to what we believe about the gospel. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, For rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. And then listen to what he follows up with in the very next verse. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. Do you see what he's doing here? It's a little ironic twist, but not something easily seen at first. The kind of joy he's calling you to have here is in direct connection to what you believe. In other words, doctrine. Now, I know that many of you out there hear that word doctrine and you cringe because you've been told doctrine divides, doctrine's a dirty word, we should just focus on everything we agree upon, but I couldn't disagree more. Doctrine does divide, absolutely, truth from falsehood. Doctrine will divide sheep from wolves, the narrow way from the wide way. All these things, doctrine divides. You betcha, doctrine does divide. But to rejoice in the Lord, then, is to have a firm grasp on your doctrine. It is to have a firm grasp on the implications of the gospel, the knowledge of which you know that you are found in Him. And so that's why the Bible is full of rich content to impress upon us a knowledge and a deep understanding of the Christian faith. Oftentimes, people will posit the dichotomy, the separation between a head and a heart. And that's true. People can have a lot of knowledge in the head and not have it in the heart. That is absolutely true. But at the same time, you can't have it in the heart without having it in the head. You have to know something about the one whom you confess. You have to know something about this wonderful gospel to have it take root in the heart and motivate your living to have this inner sense of joy. That you are found in Christ. So Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to tell you something that you've heard from me many times, but it's not tedious for me to tell you this again, but it's for your own safety. And so he wants to impress upon them again just what they believe about the gospel. It's precisely this neglect that can happen in the life of the Christian that will attack joy. It attacked the Galatians so that he could write to them, O foolish Galatians, what has bewitched you that you should turn away so soon from the truth to another gospel that said what? One is justified by works. And this is exactly the issue Paul raises. He gives a threefold beware. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. So dogs were scavengers in the ancient world. Evil workers were described in the Psalms as those who were always working iniquity. And the mutilation is a clear reference to Gentile circumcision. And Paul minces no words. He uses these things, this threefold beware. Because what he holds out for us, my friends, are two types of systems of religion. Two religions. One that looks to the self and the other that looks to Christ. One that looks back at law observance, the other that says Christ has become the end of the law for righteousness to all who believe in him. And anything that looks to the self, anything that looks to other means of self-fulfillment and self-righteousness, happinesses of this world, is right out of the pit of hell. It's a false gospel. There have always been two types of religions in the world. And Paul will go on to show this. There are two systems. One sets its ladder and aims right for heaven, seeking to climb up to heaven through their good works. That's all the world religions of this world, all telling you what you must do to go up to God. And the other, the biblical Christianity, sets a ladder down to earth, and Christ comes down that ladder, and we receive him by faith alone, grace alone, through faith alone. Cain, remember, brought an offering of the work of his hands, and I would imagine it was a beautiful offering, but not the one that God had prescribed. The one that God had prescribed was the way of blood. It was the way that Abel came, through bringing blood. And what all of this is saying to us today is, anytime we look apart from Christ, we lose our joy. We must look only to him. We must understand that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And so what confidence today are you putting in something else other than Christ? What needs to be brought down in your life? Are you calling yourself a Christian today, but seeking to find happiness and joy in something other than Christ? I have sad news for you. You are deceived. Don't be surprised that you find yourself always empty, always grasping for the wind, always searching but never finding, always seeking to solve your problems but never understanding why you can't experience the fruits from your commitments to Christianity. You must repent and believe in Jesus, and we must all rejoice in the Lord and put no confidence in anything else. Let Jesus be your all in all today. Let him fill you. Let the thoughts of his life, death, and resurrection, his love, his saving grace fill you with such inward joy that you know, and I mean really know, that he has died for you and justified you through his blood, so that you can say, I've counted all things as loss for the sake of gaining Jesus Christ. Well, my friends, our promise to you at the Linden United Reformed Church is not to entertain you, not to fill you with the thrills and enjoyments of this world, but to preach to you the one message that's able to save your souls, Christ and Him crucified. And to understand that and to appreciate a wonderful gospel, we have to first understand that we're wretched sinners. And that may be, and that will be, very offensive. But at the end of the day, you will walk away justified through Christ's precious blood. Join us this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden URC. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.